Thank you, praise team. Let's pray. Father, thank you again as we come to our time and hear the words of Solomon that came through your Holy Spirit, Father. And I pray that as we continue on through the Proverbs, Lord, that you will give us the wisdom that it was intended to impart for each of us to live according to your laws and your will. We thank you, Lord. Please remove me from this and let your Spirit speak through the word for itself. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, during the, this is the last Sunday in August, but for the rest of September, we're going to continue to be in Proverbs, and then October, we're going to move to something else. But Proverbs, as we said last week, is a book of common sense. And it's amazing how much common sense God gives you if you will just listen to it. Now, you'll understand when I talk to the verse, "Don't Go With Them," is the title of the text, but I remember when I was graduating basic training in Great Lakes, or as we used to call it, Great Mistakes, Great Lakes, Illinois, in Naval Boot Camp, the weekend you graduate, they let you go on liberty. So there was a bunch of us, fresh-faced, young, barely shaving, you know, 18, 19-year-olds in our white Cracker Jack outfits. You know, it was so bright you couldn't see the sun glaring. You had to cover your face. So we were transported to the USO on the Loop in Chicago. And if you've ever been to Chicago, you know the Loop's kind of like the 435 kind. It's like the downtown area and all kind of bars and restaurants and theaters and stuff like that. So all of us are walking down the street. We're in a pack for self-protection. They told us always travel in groups. So we're walking by this one bar, and all of a sudden this one guy comes out, and he said, hey, boys, come on in here. We'll give you some free drinks. Come on in here. And we're like, no, we're going down to the theater to see a movie, and then we're going to a Bears game. No, come on in here. And all of a sudden this lady, and I use that term loosely, she came to the door, and she was like, come on in, boys. We'll show you a good time. And, of course, some of our guys were like, no. But most of them were like, yeah, let's go in. We'll get a drink before we go to the football game. Da-da-da-da-da. And then I noticed that the young lady had an Adam's apple. And I kept walking. God gave me enough common sense to understand that there's a difference between a stud horse and a mare horse, okay? And something told me, even before I noticed the Adam's apple, that this was not the place I needed to be. And that goes into a lot of things that we talk about in life. In fact, let's go to Proverbs 1, 8 through 19. Proverbs 1, 8 through 19. And the whole premise of what we're going to be talking tonight, except for the very beginning, is don't go with them. Don't be enticed. Don't be tempted. And follow along with those who fall to temptations. Now, folks, that's an easy thing for us to do. We want to be among friends. We want to do things that other people do. We want to be counted worthy for their attention. Brothers and sisters, the world's attention is not worth the pain you will endure, not only in this life, but into eternity, if that's all you want. And they tell us about it. Proverbs 1, 8 through 19, we'll read it and then we'll break it down. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now, when we're talking chains here, we're not talking about like chained down with a ball and chain. We're talking about like, as they used to say in the 90s, bling. You know, ornaments, gold necklaces, things like that. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as they that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Some hard lessons, brothers and sisters, have to be learned by experience. But one of the experiences God tries to warn us about to give us an advanced knowledge, don't be enticed by those who want to commit sin, knowingly commit sin. They're planning, they're scheming, they're lurking, they're hiding privately. You know, they're in the bushes, they're in the closets, they're wherever you want. And then suddenly, come and put your lot in with us and we'll all share. We'll kill these people and we'll take what they have. Brothers, we're not born to be pirates. We're not born to be thieves, even though that inclination in our sinful nature is always present. God tells us, don't go with them. Now, one of the best characteristics of biblical Proverbs is the absolute common sense they portray. He's trying to get his son not to be injured by acting foolishly, by going along with sin. Good advice is only good if it points you toward a better way or a better outcome from any given circumstance. People will tell you advice, sometimes even unasked advice, to try to get you in a better position. And if that's their real aim, sometimes that advice needs to be followed. But if their advice is for you to trick somebody or to steal something or to get away with something, that's not good advice. That's evil. That's foolishness. We try to trick each other as human beings into getting what someone else has. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But today's text starts with an admonition to listen to those who love you and desire your best outcome, who wants to give you the good advice. It gives wise advice to stay away from wickedness and ends up with outright truth concerning those just mentioned. Now let's take a closer look at those first two verses. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, brothers and sisters, I realize that no family is perfect. This is an ideal situation. There are evil parents, and there are wicked people who try to teach their children how to do what is ungodly. Brothers and sisters, it pains me to say, this morning when I went to get some gas down here at the whistle stop, on the way back, I saw many children just playing, not a care in the world. And you see the innocence of childhood, but then you start to think it, especially from my position, why aren't these children where they're learning about God? Why aren't there parents that care enough that they're going to be in God's house today? What is the greatest gift that we can give our children? It's the knowledge of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's this part we call the teenage years and young adulthood years where we think we know everything, and then we realize that our mom and dad was right. And there are a lot of things that you can only learn through experience. But you can be warned and you can prepare. If a child has a knowledge of God when the hard times hit, then they will have something to fall back on, where if they're out riding their bicycle on Sunday morning, or playing whatever they're playing in front of their television, and mom and dad don't care. They don't know God. They don't care about God. Well, someone should be wise enough to let individuals know that knowing God is the greatest thing you can do. And it is Sunday morning that we choose to worship. Why? Because this is the day that Jesus was resurrected, on the first day of the week. That's why we celebrate on Sunday as Christians. But it seems like the longer we go, no one cares. I've got 1,000 other things to do. Now, if you got to work, you're a nurse, or you're a doctor, you're a fireman, you're a policeman, whatever, I understand that. I did that myself for many, many years. But at least I tried to go and sit in the balcony. Of course, when the pager went off, everybody turned and looked at me, so I had to kind of figure out another way to do it. But brothers and sisters, that's because I had a desire to know about God. Where is the desire? It's passed down from mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. So when you hear the instruction of the father and you don't forsake the law of your mother, that will be counted as an ornament of grace unto thy head. When you listen to the wise words of your parents or grandparents or any adult that loves you, and I mean loves you in a biblical way, in a godly way, it will be like an ornament around your neck. Now, how many of y'all remember Mr. T? I pity the fool, that guy. A-Team. Do you remember what one of his most famous characteristics other than the mohawk was? He had the gold chains all over him. And you could hear him coming a mile away. In fact, one time when I was at the airport in LAX and I was being transferred from submarine school to Pearl Harbor, we had a stopover at LAX, and I heard this bling, 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 bling walking down, and I turned around and it was Mr. T. And he was walking. I mean, I didn't speak to him. I didn't have enough courage, you know. I'm sitting in my civvy clothes and I'm just waiting, you know, to get to Pearl Harbor, and I see this guy. But you know, you could tell it was him because of the ornaments around his neck before you ever saw him. That is the way a godly person is, with the ornaments of grace around their neck. You can tell who they are because they have paid attention to the instruction of their godly father, and they did not forsake the godly law of thy mother. What's the godly law of thy mother? Boy, you put your hand in that cookie jar, woman, and I'm going to get the peach limb. A boy, you stay out of the refrigerator, I'm going to take this wooden spoon to you. How many have an intimate knowledge of the wooden spoon in the kitchen? Not many of us, huh? Well, that's the law of your mother. She's teaching you not to steal, to obey, things like that. These are things that you wear around your neck your whole life, and that people can recognize you. You have godly influences by the way you act, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you do. Because you have a godly influence in your life. Godly parents desire to pass on those experience and teachings that will help you in your life. You know, sometimes when I talk to a certain teenager who shall go nameless right now, and I'm trying to explain the way life works, I get the same look that I gave my parents or my grandparents when they tried to explain things to me. Yeah, right, Grandpa. Yeah, yeah. All right, Dad. All right, Mom. Whatever. I receive what I get, which means that the mother's curse works. How many are familiar with the mother's curse? I see a lot of ladies laughing. You know what that is, right? I hope your youngin' grows up just like you. And believe me, sometimes it happens. But I'm going to tell you what. We need to not ignore nor reject the wisdom that godly parents give us. And such wisdom is like that fine jewelry that we may wear as a reminder to others and to ourselves that there are wise ways of doing things. We may not understand, nor we may not even agree, but once we learn, it sticks. And it is incumbent upon us, parents, to pass down godly wisdom. Godly wisdom, which is any kind of practical wisdom as well as religious wisdom. When you're teaching someone the right way to do something, that's still godly wisdom. Why? Because all truth is God's truth. Now let's move on. Verse 10, the most important verse in this text today. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Well, if you cast your lot in with sinners, you will have all one purse, and that purse is judgment. That purse is punishment. That purse is something you don't want to put your hand in. First and foremost, stay away from those who run to sin. If there are people in your life who, that's what they enjoy, is problems. They enjoy causing problems, being around problems. I had a driver on my paramedic crew one time, and he would tell you, he said, I love to stir the pot. I love to get people upset and sit back and watch the action. Folks, how ridiculous is that? Blessed are the peacemakers, not the pot stirrers. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness, not those who seek to cause other people problems. And he was good at it too. Brothers and sisters, this is something. If those that want to commit sin are going to commit sin, you can tell them all day long till you're blue in the face it's wrong to do it, and yet they will still do it. Why? Because they know not the Lord. But you do. And you have no excuse. Being tempted is not a sin. Let me rephrase that. Being tempted will not get you in trouble with God. Falling into the trap of temptation is what is wrong. In other words, it's how you act to the temptation. If you ignore it, you reject it, and you carry on the way God wants you to, you're blessed. But if you say, hey, I might get a little out of this. I might get a little headstrong. I might get a little material wealth. I might get a little advance over somebody or an advantage over someone. Brothers and sisters, that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the enemy of your soul wants you to do, is to be enticed, to be corrupted, to be nailed for doing something that is evil. Do not let them tempt you to do what godly wisdom forbids. You know, before you even read the Bible, you know stealing is wrong. Then why are you tempted to steal if you know it's wrong? Well, because I wanted a little more. Well, that's coveting. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Well, it's not fair that all these people have this and I don't have nothing. I need to get it any way I can. No, you need to get it in the proper way. You need to work, you need to study, you need to work hard, you need to learn, and you need to get it the old-fashioned way, through the sweat of your brow. You want to get mad at somebody about that? When you get to heaven, smack Adam up inside the head a couple times. Now, folks, I'm being facetious. You won't want to do that when you get to heaven, okay? But the point being, God told us, because of our sinful nature, we have to work for the blessings that we have. Now, He will bestow blessings upon you. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you work for a living, you got to work for a living. However you do that, whether you be farming or you're in an office or whatever it may be, you have to learn your job, do your job properly. You don't steal from others. You don't. Brothers and sisters, such evildoers that tempt you to do this desire to kill and steal in order to acquire what is not theirs. This directly contradicts the 5th, 6th, 8th, and 10th commandments. What is that? Honor your father and mother. When you reject the wisdom of your father who says, don't go with them, and you go with them, you're breaking that commandment. You shall not murder. He's talking about putting them whole in the grave. That is murder. Murder is killing for a selfish reason. Not for self-defense, not when you're a soldier, but because of selfish reason. I want what he's got or she's got, so I'm going to kill him, whether it be gold or a person. It's murder. You shall not steal. I don't have to explain that one. But how about that tenth? You shall not covet. I want something someone else has so bad that I'm willing to lie, cheat, steal, and kill for it. Brothers and sisters, sinful man is hardwired to do these things. And only an intervention of the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith in Jesus Christ will tamper down the spirit. Now, we will always be tempted. The Lord Himself was tempted. But we as Christians no longer have to fall. When you're sinners, you have to fall to the temptation because that is your nature. But when you have a new nature, when you're born again, when you're saved by faith through grace, or I got that backward, saved by grace through faith, you no longer desire to do those things. Even though you may be tempted, you can then say, no, through Jesus, I don't have to do this anymore. When we ignore our parents' wisdom, when we dishonor them, when we kill others, we desire to gain another's possessions, we violate all other commandments. Remember James said, if you violate one, you violated them all. That's hard, but that's true. It's true. And such wickedness desires others in its pursuit of ill-gotten gains. Cast in thy lot among us. Go along with us. Misery loves company. Come on, we'll all go in together and we'll steal it and we'll all split up the share. Folks, if you're the last one to join the club, just who's going to get the blame when you get caught? It ain't going to be the ones who planned it. It ain't going to be the ones who enticed you. It's going to be you. That's like the old saying, when you're in a fight, only the guy that throws the second punch is ever caught. Don't go in with them. Those who do such things very seldom do it alone. They want others to take the fall and get the blame if they are caught. That's the whole reason they invite you in, because they know that they're going to get caught and they want someone to take the fall. And you coming into a group like that who doesn't act like they do all the time, you're just tempted for this one time, and you go in and the hammer falls, it's going to fall right on you. Now, can you be forgiven? Yes. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about having enough common sense not to go in to start with. It's amazing. They claim that they will split the purse. But brothers and sisters, guess who gets the loot? Those folks. What was the old gospel according to Jerry Reed? She got the gold mine and I got the shaft. Very true. They will get the gold and you will get the blame. Let's go to verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the native spread... Excuse me. Surely in vain the... Yeah, give me 1 second. The devil's trying to hush me up. Y'all give me a second. Oh man, that was one of those great big old Brazilian bullfrogs too. Like to choke. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Wisdom says to stay away from such trash. Do not go with them. They desire to do great evil. Now folks, maybe y'all one time got in a situation like I'm about to relate to you. Once many years ago, after one of our high school football games, you know, I was in the band, I was the head drummer and everything, but, you know, I was the guy that, I was the big brother to a lot of them. You know, they would always come to me and talk. I guess it was practicing for being a preacher. They would come and talk to me and want to know what to do and stuff like that. But anyway, I was invited to a party. First time I'd ever been invited to a party. I was a junior in high school. You know, I was 16 years old. I only had my driver's license for a year. Man, I was going to get to go in the car, and I was going to get to go to a party with the older kids. I was hardly ever, if ever, invited to such things. Now, this party was down a long forestry road. I don't know if you know anything about National Forest, but the Forestry Service has these logging roads cut in, and they always go down 5 or 6 miles, and they have a big turnaround where the logs trucks can turn around in it and stuff. And that's where the party was. They were going to have a big bonfire. And so I thought, really? I might want to go here. But then one of the guys suggested to me, hey man, I'm going to give you this ID. We're going to go over the county line, and I want you to go in here and buy this beer for us. We've been caught before, so we can't go. So you do that for us. And I was like, no, thank you. And I didn't go. God had given me enough common sense. Now, let me tell you what happened at that party. And this is a true story. When I got home, where I lived on a road that went up toward the National Forest, and I heard a bunch of sirens come by. So the next day I found out that a big fight had erupted at the party. Two guys took sticks to each other and beat each other's heads in. One girl said that she was attacked and almost raped. The two guys had been in the fight, ended up going to the hospital and being arrested. And when the cops showed up, one car flipped down a ravine. Didn't hurt the guy. He was in a seatbelt, luckily. But his daddy lost his car. Some party. And a lot of people I know or knew in the past would say, hey man, that sounds like a good time. No, it don't. It sounds like a bunch of idiots. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to do that kind of stuff. We don't need to push the limits and see how far God will let us go. That's silly. You know, when I found out that all they wanted me to go as far was to buy the beer, I had at least, that wasn't a God moment. That was a common sense moment. It was like, if that's the only thing they want me for, I don't want to go. Luckily, I didn't go with them. I did not cast my lot among them. Because the Bible says that folks like this, they wait for their own blood. Now, what does that mean? That means they know such behavior is stupid, yet they do it anyway. It's like standing in front of a great big electrical panel. And it's got signs all over it. And it says, do not touch, high voltage. And you've got a big old screwdriver. And you start doing this. Now, some of you electricians, you've seen what happens to people who do that. I, as a paramedic, have seen what happens to people that do that. It's not a pretty picture. And yet they knew that if they did something stupid, that would might be, and possibly would be, the result. When you are enticed to do evil and you know that you are going to get caught, you know that people are going to find out, you know that you're hurting yourself and someone, and you know that you are sinning against Almighty God, and yet you do it anyway. Special kind of stupid. Now, folks, I know we all make mistakes. And I know we all sin. And the Bible tells us that if we belong to Christ, and this is only if you belong to Christ, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you don't know Christ, then you got to start from the beginning and ask for forgiveness. But that's not where I'm going. Today's message is for Christians. It's for those that know God. Those that wait for their own blood. Those that know that they're going to hurt as a result of a stupid choice, or that someone they love and care about will hurt because of a stupid choice. But they do it anyway. How idiotic. How foolish. Young folks, stay away from such people. Old folks, you know the same kinds of people. Now, you may have people that are related to you by blood or related to you by friendship. But if they're doing something you know is biblically wrong, it is incumbent upon you to not go with them. Don't help them. Hey, cuz, I'm going to park outside this bank. Would you sit here and when I come out, let's take off? Why you got that ski mask and bag? Brothers, we know. Sisters, we know. Don't follow the world. Folks, it's about to get weird again. Okay, we thought it was weird going through COVID the first time. They got stuff out there now that they're going to try to get us to all take shots again, okay? They're going to want to start closing churches and schools again. It's still a little ways off, but it's coming. They want to scare us. Brothers and sisters, I'm just using that as an example because there's many other kind of sins that the church can get involved in. You know, we have churches that, and I've talked about it before, that even deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got churches that say sin's okay, that everyone's going to go to heaven. It sounds so nice, doesn't it? No matter what you do, you're going to go to heaven. You can live a life of total debauchery and you will go to heaven. Because God is love and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you this, but those that are going to hell go in with eyes wide open and you shut the door behind them. When you choose to reject a holy God and the wisdom that He gives you, the warnings that He gives you, don't go here. Don't. And I'm not talking about legalism, folks. I'm not. Because there's no act you can do to get into heaven. You have to only get into heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. But when God in His love and His mercy tells you something is dangerous, listen to Him. Because there's all kind of traps the devil has laid for us. Remember, the devil's a lot of things, but he ain't stupid. He knows your weakness. He knows the trap he can set for you individually. And he will tempt you almost to the point of not being able to bear it. But as believers, as people with Christ, we can bear all things. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Now, that verse is taken out of context a lot, and I realize that. But when it comes to resisting temptation, God will not give to you what you cannot handle. I'm paraphrasing. There's always a way out of temptation. If it be just stopping, turning around, and walking the other direction, that's a way out. Especially with these kind of people. Well, they just put so much pressure on me. I just want to be a part. Now, see, again, it's I just want. You're focused on you. You're not focused on the Lord. When you're acting selfishly and being enticed and going along with sinners, you're acting selfishly. You, as a Christian, do not have yourself on the throne of your heart anymore. You are a servant, a slave to Jesus Christ. Act accordingly. And if you don't like that language, you are a son or daughter of the King of the universe. Act accordingly. Do not be enticed by them. Stay away from such folks. Now let's go to the very last verse, because this kind of wraps it up. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. If you're greedy, and you steal and kill and all that stuff, well, you're taking their life away. But if you're greedy, you're also taking your own life away. What do I mean by that? Well, if you do all that other stuff and you get caught, guess where you're going to end up? Missouri State Penitentiary. You don't want to end up there. You don't want to end up in the county lockup either, the clink. You don't want to end up there. What you want to do is walk, love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly before your God, Micah 6:8. That's what you want to do. And walking humbly before God means you trust Him. You may not get everything someone else has. You know, that's a big temptation to a lot of preachers I know. They want to get on the circuit. Do you know what the circuit is with preachers? That's all the conferences and conventions that they invite you to speak, and you get paid tens of thousands of dollars and all this kind of stuff. Many preachers, well, I want to go out there because I want to spread the word. No, you want to be recognized and you want to have fame. That's a common temptation. Now, there are some good speakers on circuits. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there is a temptation to make that, your fame in the church, the most important thing. Brothers and sisters, I love this church. I really do. I want to be in a church that has Jesus Christ as its foundation. And I'm not blowing sunshine in your ears. I really believe you guys love Jesus more than anybody that I've ever met in a congregation recently. Now, I'm not counting my old-time church when I was little, but as a pastor, I'm telling you, you guys love Christ. You want to learn about Him. You want to know about Him. You want to experience the relationship you have with Him. God be praised for that. But a lot of preachers want churches that lift the preacher up on a pedestal. You know why I don't want to be lifted up on a pedestal? I want you people to hold me accountable. One, because that's we're God-given responsibility. Second of all, if you're up on a pedestal, it's a lot easier to knock you off. You think about that. Think that stool over there. If I set this stool up here and I stood up on this stool, I would be wobbly and it would be real easy for me to fall down. I don't want that. I want to be grounded in the Word of Christ. I want you to be grounded in the Word of Christ. I want you to be able to recognize when someone says, hey, let's go here and let's do this. And you will not do it. Not because of your preacher. Not because of any other reason other than you know that God, through His Word, does not want that for you. He doesn't want you to be in prison. He doesn't want you to suffer. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, there's different kinds of suffering. If you do something stupid and get caught and suffer for that, there's no glory in it. God will not abandon you, but there's no glory in it. Live your life in the fear of the Lord. The awesome, reverential, God is my King type fear. And it will do you well. You see, greed and covetousness both lead towards destruction. And that's all this is, these verses about these people that want to kill others to get their stuff. It's greed and covetousness. There is no good way or outcome that will come from going down either one of these paths. You see, there is a path we have to go through. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto light, and few there be that find it. In other words, the way the world goes, folks, there's a lot of people going down that road. You are the proverbial salmon swimming upstream. And they're going to call you every name in the book. And some they made up. I always put that word phobic behind it, which is that means fear. You're afraid of this and you're afraid. I'm not afraid of anything. Well, there is this bear that lives out in the woods. That's a whole other story. Nobody laughed at that joke. I should have told that at a different time. But you don't have to be afraid when Christ is with you. Now, there are situations you don't want to get in and don't want to be in, but when you're in them and God is with you, it's bearable. That's the whole reason I was going to go with a bear joke, because I said it's bearable. Boy, I need to get new writers. You know that? Yeah, they're on strike. Thank you, brother. But brothers and sisters, many of y'all are going through something that is really hard in your life right now, or have recently gone through something, or, if nothing else, will be going through something that is very hard in your life. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 5 years, it might be 5 decades from now. But with Christ beside you, what do you have really to fear? What's the worst they can do? What's the worst that can happen? Die? If you're in the bosom of Jesus Christ, there is no death. There's a physical change. You're no longer in this house, but you're in the house that God created for you, in the heavenlies. You're in the glorified state. And then when Christ returns, you'll be in the resurrected, glorified state. That's the worst they can do. Well, they can take all my stuff. Yeah? So can the government. So can a guy that, you know, that calls you on the telephone at 2 o'clock in the morning wanting to, you know, sell stock or buy bonds or whatever. There's people that try to trick you all the time to get what you have. It can be taken away. Or a hurricane or a tornado or a house fire or an earthquake, whatever. You know, Los Angeles has to have something to think about, because God sent them a hurricane and an earthquake at the same time. Are you people listening? That's what I felt like saying. Brothers and sisters, anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil can throw at us can be overcome through Jesus Christ our Lord, period. We do not have to go along with the sinners. We enter by the narrow gate. It says few that find. Christians are becoming fewer and fewer. You see, back in the old days, and some of y'all remember these old days, the culture was more or less Christian. The culture is no longer Christian. Now, they may still have, you know, you can have Christmas Day off or whatever. That's not Christian. Okay? Acknowledgement isn't Christianity. Faith and following that faith is the essence of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not because you take whatever day the 25th in December is off of work. No. Brothers and sisters, to avoid being trapped and tricked by those that want to kill and take and sin is to keep your mind, your heart, and your feet focused and working for Jesus Christ. Don't go with them. Real godly men and women, while working hard for the fruit of their labors, we realize that trickery and scheming lead only to inevitable destruction. What are the wages of sin? Death. Not only physical death. Yeah, you could get shot while robbing the 7-Eleven. But you have a death of relationship, a death of the societal contract, a death of your family because you're now in jail. There's all kind of death that follows from following along with sinners. Those who are caught in the web of trying to gain material wealth by thievery and lies lose the life that they have, whatever that life may be. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us mothers and fathers, us grandmothers, us grandfathers, us aunts, us uncles, us third cousins twice removed, us friends of the family, whatever our position is, it is incumbent upon us to know God and His will and to teach those who do not know the truth, especially the coming generations. God's ways, while foreign to our carnal natures, and I'll tell you that's true, are the only safe and beneficial ways to acquire the things we need in life. We don't have to lay traps for people. We don't have to kill people. We don't have to scheme and connive and hide things. We can do things on the up and up, and God will bless us according to His will. Now, you may not receive what Joe gets down the street or Susie gets down the street, but you will have what God wants you to have, and you should be content. But let me say that another way. It's not wrong to desire to have something better. When I say content, that's not what I'm talking about. You can desire something better. You can want a better job. You can want a better place. You can ask for a better place of service. All these kind of things are good. But once you achieve them, then you are to be content. And you know, God, I'd like a little better job, but if this is where you want me to be right now, help me do the best I can where I'm at. That kind of contentment. It's rare, but it's necessary, because when we have that, we understand that God provides all we need. So brothers and sisters, as we close up, heed the words of our loving Father in heaven. It said, forsake not the instruction of your father. Do not be enticed by wickedness. Do not say, hey, they got this, that, and the other, and they're having fun. They're going, you know, they're doing a lot. Let's take an example. Let's say you meet somebody that lives down in one of the new apartment houses down by the river they have in Kansas City, out by where they're building a new soccer stadium. Oh yeah, they party every Friday night. They go out and they get to do whatever they want. But yet, when they go home, they're alone. They're estranged from their family. They may have children they've never seen. They may have all kind of problems that you never know about. And it's all because they were enticed by sin and others that wanted them to do wicked with them. Do not go with them. Do not consent to be pulled away by those who love evil rather than good. Go after wisdom and the hard work for your fruit. Trust the Lord to guide you in what you do. Then your blood will be spared, and there will be less sorrow and less remorse in your life, because you have trusted in the one who gives life and gives blessing instead of trying to steal it and suffer the consequences thereof. Praise team. Very understandable. You know, we're born human, and we're born where we want nice things, but we're also given an opportunity to learn how those nice things can be acquired in the right godly way. And that's what Solomon says almost all the way through Proverbs. You know, there are certain ways that you do things. There are certain ways that God approves of. And if you go down those paths, even though it may be hard work, even though you have to wait a lot longer than other people, God will give you what He knows that you need. And it's different for every person. What I need is different than what you need. What you need is different than what your cousin needs. It's all very personal, because God is a personally relatable God. In fact, He's the only God. And if He knows every hair on your head, then He knows what you need. And He will give you the wisdom and the understanding to acquire that through hard work and perseverance. You know, many are those that go down that wide path. And you see that wide path. Brothers and sisters, I understand that hardships come, but God gives us ways to do things the right way. And I pray, as your pastor, that you will always see the way God wants you to do something, and you will receive the blessings from Him and not go with those who reject the Lord.